from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone!
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Hey, howdy, hey, welcome everyone back to Play Tessie. This is episode 109. If you're listening on drop day, it is August 6th. This is the official podcast of Switching Roles when you're out partying. That's why you hear me, producer Joe Braverman, in for Gordo, who's still celebrating his bachelor weekend out in Texas. I am here with Sammy. I am here with the Dr. Pat. Before we get into this episode, make sure you subscribe everywhere. And I mean it everywhere. If you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple, the Odyssey app, hit that subscribe button, rate us 5 stars, give us a great review. Got to boost that engagement. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the WEEI channel and check out the WEEI playlist that we have. It's the Play Tessie playlist because we are the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. As I said, here with Sammy, here with Pat, producer Joe in the Gordo spot. And we got to talk about the impending return of one of the biggest names out there for the Red Sox, and that is Tristan Cassis. He began his rehab assignment this weekend, and he played in both the Saturday and the Sunday games for the Woo Sox. He started at DH on Saturday, and he went 2-for-4. He had a 2-RBI double. That was 2 of 3 RBIs that he had on the day. He also walked and struck out. Sunday, as we record, he started at first base. He went 1-for-3 with another double, but he also struck out twice. Now, Sammy, you were at Worcester for that Saturday game, so you got a great perspective on how Cassis looked. Give me your report. What did you think of how Cassis looked, how he was hitting the ball? Are there some encouraging signs?
Yeah, so yeah, with the context of at the time I was watching the game, I was under the impression that his comments about being in a ton of pain when he swings, I thought he was being serious. We found out later that he was kind of a little tongue-in-cheek with that, but we'll talk about that in a moment. I did like how in his first at-bat, I think he took 4 or 5 pitches. He waited until he had 2 strikes. I don't remember the result, but he waited a lot, took a lot of pitches, which is really important when you're getting your timing back after being out for so long. And then his next at-bat, first pitch swinging. And it was a pitch that was pretty middle-middle. And I think he drove that one up the middle for a single. I think that was the single that he hit. But a lot of pitch taking watching the pitches, kind of what you'd expect. And then it culminated his final at bat of the day. He roped a double off the wall. Of course, I was filming the at bat, and in the middle of the at bat, as I'm tracking the ball as it's flying through the air, my alarm so that I wouldn't miss the train back to Boston went off. So I didn't get the full thing on film, but he hit it friggin' hard. And it was good to see. It looked like he was running fine. I know he's not a great runner, but he was moving well. And yeah, it's kind of all you can hope for when you're watching a guy rehab. So good marks from me on the Tristan Casas rehab tour.
Yeah, I think for Casas, there's no, I don't want to say there's like a rush in looking for perfection because the injury was so rare and so severe, at least for a baseball player, when you're talking about, you know, rib cartilage and tearing like the inner parts of your rib. So I don't know if anyone's expecting anything crazy, but I do agree with you, Sammy. This is a really, really good sign to see that he's still making some really good contact, and there wasn't anything crazy while he was starting at first base. He was able to move really well. So all good signs. All good signs for Tristan Casas.
Yeah,
it's at not least like on the field.
Yeah, he's not just going up there hacking either. He's doing his normal Tristan Casas at bat where he takes pitches. He's got his game plan. He's in the batter's box at the same exact time in the pitch clock. Can't remember. I know he changed it this year. Last year was 11. I think this year it's 12 or 13 because they changed the pitch clock timer. But it's the same number on the pitch clock every time, which is just that's so Tristan Casas. He has the most quirks of any player you're ever going to watch. But yeah, it was good to see. And you really, with these rehab things, it's such a hard decision for the whole Red Sox organization. Because there's multiple schools of thought. On one hand, you can rush the guy back because you need him and you're in the middle of a playoff hunt. But he's also one of your most valuable pieces and he's coming back from a strange, unusual injury. So do you really want to push it? And on the other hand, you have Dom Smith playing first base right now. He's playing well. What percentage does Tristan Casas have to be at to give you more than what Dom Smith is giving you right now? So tough situation for the Red Sox. Not a bad situation because they're about to get a very good player back. But I don't know. What are you guys thinking? Are you antsy to get Tristan Casas back, or are you kind of okay waiting?
I'm excited for him to be back, obviously. But ribs are a weird one, man. Ribs are tough because everything you do, bending, twisting, turning, breathing, everything just kind of aggravates the rib. And the hardest part from getting back from a rib injury is kind of realizing, okay, like, it's not going to hurt to do this. It's not going to hurt anymore to do that. And kind of readjusting and finding those normal moving patterns because you're so used to kind of like nursing it, like bending down weird, sitting up weird, not turning. Now that he's said it himself, he's not completely pain-free, but it's exponentially better. Finding what he's allowed to do or comfortable doing, and then just building off of that. I would much rather him come up, you know, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, than rush him, have him back next week, and he's still a little apprehensive, the afraid to do this, afraid to do that. Give him his time, let him work it out 100% healthy all the way, and then bring him back.
And I think the beauty for the Sox is that their lineup, as Sammy just said, they're not desperate for him. They don't need him. Dom Smith is doing very well defensively at first base, and your lineup is hitting. They're hitting really well even without Casas. So you already have a good lineup, and it's going to get even better whenever Casas is. But as you said, you got to take it nice and easy with him. This is, as you said, a risky, risky injury when you're talking ribs. So I am on your same line, Pat. No need to rush Casas because your lineup is doing just fine without him.
From personal experience, I've had a fractured rib before. The thing that I found toughest was sleeping. You can't move in your sleep or else you're like in excruciating pain in the middle of the night. And all of a sudden now you're awake. It sucked. I think 2021, I had a really messed up rib, and it's just, you have to place your pillow strategically on your side so that you're not putting too much pressure if you do roll over. And then if you go back to that same side, it hurts. So, Pat, question for you, what do you do for a messed up rib? And we should preface this, if you're new to the show, Pat's our resident doctor. official now.
And an official doctor now.
Yeah, officially. Yep. So what do you do for a rib? Is that kind of like a toe where you just let it heal, or is there something you could do for it?
Yeah. Rib is kind of like a toe. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of the treatment of a rib and a lot of like the rehab is avoiding the provocative stuff. So a lot of it's education. So if sleeping on your right side hurts because you broke your right rib, sleep on the left, position yourself. The other thing too, that a lot of people don't think of when you think rib, you have so many muscles on your trunk, the front of your body, that go right over the rib, right under the rib. There's a lot of like tensive force on your ribs at all times. The big thing with ribs that nobody thinks of in terms of casus is running. The deep breathing, the ribs going in and out, that's so painful if that's really flared up. So even though, you know, he's doing pick drills, he's doing some infield, he's doing this, he's doing that, those are a little bit provocative. The deep breathing from running bases, never mind if he has to lay out for a ball. Like, these are the things that really take time to kind of fine tune, think it's okay. Okay, I feel good. I can do this. They're reassuring. But yeah, a lot of it is just really managing the pain. It's hard.
So I have a follow up. You kind of answered it. I was going to say, so we saw Casas got injured. We think he got injured on the swing. No, that's not 100% confirmed. That's when it really started getting painful. So I think it's safe to assume that the swing is what hurt him. You just said that running is something that I would assume you can't injure your ribs with running, but it hurts. And then obviously diving on it, you could injure a lot of stuff. We saw that with Story earlier in the year. What other things does he have to look out for? Not that might hurt, because I feel like everything hurts when you have an injured rib, but what could, you know, cause the injury to get worse, I should say, aside from swinging?
Yeah. I mean, he's far enough removed where he's probably in a pretty good spot. Swinging is a really, really big one, because all of that trunk rotation, all those muscles contract to make your trunk turn. And that's what happened on his swing. When the pressure is so big from all of those muscles firing, in his case, and who knows, maybe he was predisposed, maybe he had a bruised rib, whatever. But when those tensile forces from the muscles just firing so hard, it's more than the bone can take. And that's how you get those stress fractures, the cartilage tear. Like, that's how you get those things. So I think pacing his swing, which he's far out now where I think he's okay. But if he were to just go in way too early and really just unload on swings, that's going to make it way worse.
So, okay. So the swings sounds like you think are the most damning, most dangerous part of baseball from aside from like getting drilled by 102 mile an hour fastball or something crazy like that. Yeah. Do you think that the Red Sox medical staff is going to suggest to Cora and company to DH Casas to avoid those plays where he's diving or just extra movement? Or is it just going to be like, all right, you're back. Go to first base. That's your spot.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, because he's going to be what? It's got to be coming on 10 weeks, 12 weeks since he got hurt.
A little more. Yeah. What was that? The Pirates series? When was the Pirates? Hey, let me double check.
If you listen to him specifically, when he talked to Bradfo, he said, when he was at Fenway, he was saying, just taking it one day at a time. Hopefully it adds up to getting to 100. And it was literally 100 days. So we're looking at maybe 108 days if you want to do that in numbers in terms of weeks.
April 21st. April 21st was the game where he went down.
Yeah, so he's 12 and a half weeks out. So he's now at a point where whatever was injured is likely fully healed. Like, that's beyond the time of repair. Cartilage is a weird one because it doesn't have great blood flow. It's not great at healing itself, so it takes a long time. But I think they're going to be smart with him. I think they're going to let him kind of find his limits, see what feels good, see what doesn't. If he can play the field fine, he can go down, pick it. He can get down for grounders. He can turn and flip. He can swing. He'll come back 100% full go. Maybe he has off days, you know, sore after a little bit, but I don't think they're going to bring him up just to DH. I think they're going to do a 100% full rehab. He is reared, ready to go, fully healthy. He comes up, he's playing first base. That's what I think they're going to do with him.
Got it. Stupid cartilage. Get better at healing, cartilage. What? Okay. People are going to hate me for this.
Sammy, isn't it so glad we have a doctor? We are so lucky. How many podcasts out there for the Red Sox can have a doctor that can break it down just like that?
Well, hold up. I want to make Pat give us a terrible situation. I have to ask, just because if I don't ask, I'm going to be thinking about this. What is the absolute worst case scenario with this comeback? The absolute worst. As it relates to the rib, but not like he tears his ACL and it's a completely different injury.
I mean, I think worst case scenario is he re-tears it.
Another stress
fracture in the bone or a tear in the cartilage, whatever he ended up, if he does it again. Because if it's, again, I mean, he's 12 and a half weeks out. Whatever was injured, torn, broken, whatever, that's plenty of time for that to heal up. If for some reason that is not fully healed and he dives, he swings too hard, pulls something, falls on, whatever, and he re-tears it, he's done for the year.
All right, last question I have on Costas, because I'm very invested in this. I think we all are on the same page. We think this guy's part of the future of the Red Sox. So I'm very invested in how this return goes. And this might sound stupid, but I have to ask, is it at all risky for him to be doing like the Pilates and yoga in the outfield? Because I feel like that's a lot of not torque, but like twisting and contorting your body. And I'm probably just being overly cautious in my head, but like, is that a little risky? Okay, good. You're thinking.
No,
that's good.
I think a lot of it, because a lot of it, the Pilates, the yoga, it's like as tolerated stretching and movement. It's not so much heavy load on the ribs. It's just that kind of going through those new motions, the rotation, like light rotations. The rotation in Pilates and yoga is fractional the amount of load that goes through the ribs with a swing.
Okay. All right, cool. So I don't have to worry, because I saw a picture of him doing Pilates with the Pilates wheel thing on the field. And I see the wheel, and if you've ever done like a structured workout, when I see someone sitting holding something out in front, my first thought is Russian twists. I'm like, that's the worst. These things, that's the worst thing you could possibly do. But that's crazy. He's smarter than that. So, all right. This actually, more than I thought, this has made me feel more confident about Costas coming back. It's kind of like he did his time sort of thing.
And you sound a little bit smarter, because the doctor just informed you on everything that has to do with a torn rib cartilage. But it's funny, you mentioned earlier about managing Costas. It might not just be on the field. You might have to do it off the field. So if you missed it, he's had some contradictory quotes over the past week, and I wrote them down to be exactly specific. So Rob Bradford, the Podfather, and Chris Cotillo from Mass Live were down there in Worcester on Friday while the Sox were in Texas, in Arlington. And so Costas spoke for about 10 minutes, cross-promotion. Check it out on Baseball Isn't Boring. And Bradfo gave him an interesting quote where the biggest thing that stood out was that, quote, the pain is minimal. He said that to Bradfo and to Chris Cotillo about his rib, dealing with it. The pain is minimal. But then you got to go about an hour later, he goes to Worcester Red Sox reporter, sideline reporter for their broadcast, Laura Stickles, and she put out a quote that he said about an hour later after he said the pain was minimal. He said, quote, every time I make contact, it feels like there's someone stabbing me with a knife right in the ribs, which is a pretty extreme quote, but that is quite the comparison that Costas gave out. But then, moving on to the next day, Alex Cora, in one of his press conferences on Saturday, had said that he's fine, that he's just joking around. And then we heard from Alex Speer on Sunday that he cleared things up with Tristan Costas. And Speer said in a tweet that he's felt an uptick in pain, but that he considers it tolerable. So I know that was a lot to take in, Sammy, but I guess the question is, what do you make of how Tristan Gott. I don't know if he's intentionally doing this like he normally does, like he's trolling everyone, saying that he's playing while a knife is going through his ribs. What do you make of all of this?
Okay, so let me. Can we do a recap? So first he's getting like shot, and now it's like he's being stabbed, and then he's actually fine, but now it's actually he is in pain. It's just not that bad, right? Or it's tolerable,
it started with the pain is minimal. Then it said it feels like every time he swings, there's a knife in his ribs.
He had another quote where he said initially it felt like he was getting shot in the ribs, and now it feels like he's getting stabbed, so it's better. I think there was another quote added, like at some point.
There's so much to unpack with all of this.
I'll go find it after I give my remarks. But yeah, I don't really give a shit. As long as he's healing and getting better, Tristan Casas, he likes trolling. Like when we did our NBA Finals preview, he picked the Mavs to beat the Celtics in 4, and he said Luka is unstoppable with Kyrie. There's no way the Celtics can beat him. And he was clearly trolling. So this is kind of a thing he does. There's going to be the fans who say like, oh, this kid needs to grow up. But at the end of the day, I don't give a shit as long as he's hitting bombs for the Red Sox and playing good defense over there at first. So no problem from me.
Well, that was interesting being on radio with Bradfo this past Saturday where we explained the situation. We even had Laura Stickles call in to try and explain this. And we got a lot of callers just kind of off put. They weren't off put necessarily with this situation, but kind of just festered up these sort of old emotions of, I guess, just not being sold on all the antics. Like he thinks, you know, we had callers saying like he thinks he's smarter than everyone else. He thinks he's better than he really is, going back to the contract dispute. So it's funny how this tiny, tiny little situation where we who know him personally and know the kind of fun that he likes to have off the field is turning off a lot of Red Sox fans who maybe don't feel the same way. I mean, Pat, are you sort of in the same line as Sammy that this is just a troll job from Casas and that we shouldn't be worrying about these conflicting reports?
Yeah, I mean, that's just his character. He, no matter the gravity of the situation, like he's always just gonna be coy, like joke around, make remarks. And like, I get that. But for people who, I mean, we haven't seen him in so long that some people don't pick up on his sarcasm or him not being serious about things. And I think people start freaking out. They're like, oh my God, he's out for the year. And then you guys, you have Cora, and it's like, Cora's like, yeah, I saw that. I talked to him the other day. He said he didn't have any pain. That was weird. Like, it's just so, like, not hypocritical, but so, like, opposite. Every report you see, he's 100% pain-free. It feels like he's being stabbed. He just got hit by a 12-barrel shotgun. Like, it like, there's no consistency, and that's just Tristan. As frustrating as it is for something like this, you just got to go with it. Like, I'm not really concerned. I think he'll be fine.
So, Joe, I think you actually got the first half of the quote that I was referencing. So I'll read the whole thing over because it's very quick. So he said to Laura Stickles, WooSox reporter, he says, right now when I make contact with the ball, it feels like someone's stabbing me with a knife right in the ribs. Right when it happened, it felt like I got shot with a gun. So it's dulled down. So he might have actually been serious about that because, and again, I only have my personal experience to go through. And I didn't injure my rib playing baseball, but when I hurt my rib, it didn't hurt at all. And then I got up and tried to move, and that hurt really bad. So I didn't feel the initial crack. I heard it, and I kind of got nervous. Then I felt not nervous because it didn't hurt. And then I moved and went, okay, yeah, something's wrong. So he could be telling the truth about that, but I really don't give a shit. I don't care. He's back. If he hits well, all this goes away. It doesn't matter. And also, Joe, I have a bone to pick with you. You called it antics. That's derogatory. He's trolling. It's funny. Like, I don't know. I like that Casas does that. I don't care that the older group thinks it's this, and that. Whatever. This is who he is, man. I don't want him to be anyone other than himself. That's how he got here. So I'm just going to let him do it. You know, maybe don't deceive the media like that. I get it. To him, it's funny. To you, you spend, what, 2 hours on air talking about it. And then you find out that he was joking. Nothing you can do about it. But yeah, man, that's just Tristan Casas being Tristan Casas. That's what he does. He trolls, but he also hits tanks.
Yeah, you're never going to see a player like Casas who has this kind of fun, loose nature. I mean, he can be fun maybe with the three of us, or the four of us, I should say, but maybe not when you're talking like on the podium, if it's a playoff game or if it's something a little bit more serious with that. Have a little fun with us. Maybe not in a high-stakes situation when we're talking about your rehab and wanting to come back from an injury that feels a little bit severe, as Pat described. So maybe just change up the style for the different type of people. What's the
he operates, you know how people, you're talking with your friends and they get you talk about a crazy hypothetical, like, if I were a star major league player, I would do X, Y, and Z. I wouldn't care what the media thinks. I would do blah, blah, blah. He actually does it. He doesn't care. Like we were talking about it on the field one time. I was talking about how, like, when he trolls, you're going to get the comments like, does this guy want to be here? And he thinks it's hilarious. He loves it here. So, I'm team Casas all the way. I'm kind of biased because, like, the time that he's come up has been like, I don't know. He's just been like the face of this kind of retool. And in my head, he's always been middle of the lineup kind of guy. So, yeah, man, that's, like I said, Tristan Casas being Tristan Casas, I think it's a lot better than a guy not being himself and pretending to be this buttoned up, I'm so perfect, holier than thou kind of guy. Casas is like, I like being a troll. It's funny. I'm an internet kid. And he plays good defense.
He does play good defense. Good note, Sammy.
Yeah, thank you. But, all right, shall we move to...
Well, enough said.
Yes. I want me to lead off. It kind of relates.
Go for it.
So I finally made it to Worcester to see a Woo Sox game. I took the T out there, commuter rail, super easy, drops you right near the ballpark, as I was told. And oh my God, Worcester has gotten a hell of a glow up. I can't believe it looked. So I used to go to Worcester Tornadoes games. I don't know if you guys ever went to a Tornadoes game. It was like a Can-Am league team, and as a kid I used to go because you could get super up close to the players and the players would interact with you and toss you a ball. It looks like a completely different town. It looks really nice, and you know, Worcester kind of has that Worcester reputation. I was blown away. It was my girlfriend's first time going there. She was like, this is Worcester? Looks much nicer than I've heard. So that was great. And then Polar Park itself, that was like really, really nice. AAA ballpark, that looked so clean. The outfield where they have the grass, you can get the Teddy ball game ticket is what it's called, and you sit on the grass. Good food, good beer, like really high marks for me. I was super impressed by it. I'm trying to think if there's anything I didn't like. I guess the lines to get the food were long, but that's good for the Woo Sox. So highly recommend going to Worcester if you can. The trip was easy. Like I said, you just hop on the commuter rail, takes you right there and back. They also had golf carts that they were calling shuttles, taking people to and from the train, which I thought was great. So Woo Sox, great job by everyone involved there. I was super impressed, had an awesome time, and I will definitely be back for a second game.
Love it. Yeah, I haven't made the trek out there yet. Yeah, I've made the trek out there yet, but I've only heard good things. I have a much less happy enough set, not for the Red Sox, for a different pair of socks. The White Sox, on the day of recording, have lost their 20th straight game. That's pretty bad. So then I got curious. I was like, I wonder what Pedro Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Pedro Gryffindor's record is as White Sox manager. With today's loss, Pedro Gryffindor is now officially 100 games under 500.
Oh my God.
He is 88 in 188. I want a list. I don't even know if there is one of managers who are 100 games under 500. That is insane. Insane. I don't care who's rostered. That is nuts. 100 games under as a manager.
I'm trying to see like who has the worst winning percentage of every manager. If I can like find that anywhere, I got the best. The best is Bullet Rogan, who I have never heard of. I don't know if I feel like, how do you even take that in? If you're Pedro Grifol, we didn't even know how to pronounce the guy's name. If you're Grifol, if you're Gryffindor, do you say, I'm a bad manager, I stink at this? Or do you say, like, what the hell am I supposed to do? Look at this team of goofballs. Like, they're off. That's just such a bad situation. And if they do fire him, who the hell wants that job? Wildly, not only is the team bad, but it's a notoriously dysfunctional franchise that used to be great and now it stinks. So just depressing. I give a ton of respect and a ton of credit to White Sox fans, because it looks like maybe they don't show up to the game itself, but I see a lot of White Sox fans on social media being like, this team is such a joke, like fire X, Y, and Z, get a new everything. Chris Getz is the manager.
I just did the math. 31.8 win percentage. Who still
like
has
a batting average
with something like that? Like, he's obviously not going to be back next year. I mean, that goes without saying. But most managers, I feel like historically, after his first season, where they were 101 games under, right? Is that right? 101 games? They were 100 games under. They were, 40. Jesus. 61-101. That's what they were last year. Most teams, that's your only season. You're gone. You're fired. See you later.
But like, why would you? Okay. And this is going to sound insane. What would be the reasoning to fire him aside from the losses? Because you could say, yeah, look at our record. It's awful. This is one of the worst seasons in MLB history. But what manager would salvage anything from that roster? That the White Sox, not only do they suck, they got rid of a bunch of pieces as well. Like, they suck out loud. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I don't want to absolve Pedro Gryffindor of his blame, but like, he's not a magician. He can't just magically make these AAA players who are in the majors good. I don't know. It's a tough situation. I'm so glad I'm not a White Sox fan.
That's bad. It's bad. There's a lot of really bad organizations in sports. The Arizona Coyotes, to name one. The Athletics, but even the Athletics had some good years, even recently. Like, but the White Sox, man, I think you'd be hard pressed to find a worse run organization than the White Sox.
How do you take this in? If you're a White Sox fan, and not that we have, as Red Sox fans, have ever experienced anything remotely close to this, but if you hypothetically can put yourself in the shoes of a White Sox fan, how would you take this in? How do you look to the future and say, look, we have a good but not great farm system? Like, do you even feel confident about the future at this point if you're a White Sox fan?
No. And I think even like you said, we haven't had anything remotely close to this bad. But even in like down years, we had young players at the major league level, or we had one or two prospects at the very top of the farm. Or worst come to worst, ownership would spend money. Like, you knew it wasn't going to last forever. Chicago has none of that right now. Like, Dolan or Reinsdorf isn't going to spend money. So that's out the window. The farm is incredibly mediocre. You have a couple like lower half top 100 guys who knows where they go. You have Crochet, who all but surely is dealt this offseason. You already traded Eloy. Luis Robert is likely getting traded. And then you have guys who just busted, like Andrew Vaughn. Busted. Gavin Sheets busted.
Yeah. Like, Vaughn's okay. Vaughn's okay. Well, okay. Well, Vaughn is good, but you thought he's going to be great, kind of thing.
Yeah. And then it's just like, it's crazy. And you have guys like Kopech and Moncada, who are the headliners for this giant trade for the ace. And the trade goes through, and both those guys suck. Like, it's awful. Like, I can't even imagine.
You also have to worry about like you had Luis Robert this year, and he's got a pretty decent contract. But we said the same thing last year. You can move him if you're the White Sox. Again, this year, you can move him if you're the White Sox. And they're just hanging on to him. Same with Garrett Crochet. Crochet, a little bit of context needed, because he had the thing where he was saying he wouldn't pitch a certain amount of innings, whatever. But it wouldn't shock me to see them do the same thing with him. They did it with Eloy. They held on to him until his value was nothing. They literally gave him up for nothing just to get him off the roster. And then did you see, I can't remember the guy's name, the post-game guys for the White Sox. They're talking about, like, can we thank the Baltimore Orioles for taking this guy off the White Sox hands? It's like, how? Like, I know this guy was a bust, but how do you expect anyone to perform under these conditions? Your ballpark looks like the embodiment of a rainy day. Your team sucks. You're the second most popular baseball team in town by a mile. The Cubs fans way outnumber White Sox fans. In the future, like, it's not even like with the Red Sox where we could point to, oh, look at the system they're building. Oh, Chaim Bloom is really good with minor league guys. And, you know, John Henry's always spent money. I know he's not spending now, but it's not out of the question that he spends. I don't know what White Sox fans have to hold on to. And that, I know this isn't a White Sox show, but in the sense of being a baseball fan, it's just, where do you turn to? I would befriend Oakland A's fans just so I could hear a fan base that's got it even worse, because they're like straight up losing their team. So, let's all be happy that we are part of the other Sox fan base.
Agreed.
Joe, are you? We lost Joe for a moment with Wi-Fi. Are you back with us?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, you're good.
In sync. Okay, great, great. I agree with you. White Sox are a joke of a franchise. And they shouldn't be, because they're kind of legendary. I would like to see maybe like the Marlins or something like that be worse, or not a team as legendary like that. But
yeah, like a historically like that's like a historically pretty respectable. Well, other than their major scandal in the early 1900s, that was a long time ago though. But like generally, it's a pretty respectable franchise. Like they're not that far removed from the World Series. What, 2005? Okay, yeah,
2005.
30 team league. You're less than 20 years removed from your World Series. That's not good, but it's not awful. You're not Cleveland. So I don't know, man. Well, go Red Sox, not White Sox.
Yeah, good thing we are with the Red Sox. But no doubt about it. That will sign it off here from Play Tessie, episode 109. Thank you all for watching and listening. Remember, if you're listening to us, Spotify, Apple, Odyssey app, wherever it is, make sure you subscribe, give 5 stars, rate it, review it, whatever you got to do. If you're watching us on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to WEEI channel. We've got a Play Tessie playlist on there. We are going to be back after the Royal Series, gearing up for the Astros Series. This is going to be a big one here for the Sox. Hope they can head to Kauffman Stadium, get back in this wild card race, and maybe even get into the playoffs by the time they return home. But until then, for Pat, for Sammy, for Gordo, who's still in Texas being a bachelor, this is producer Joe Braverman. Thank you for watching and listening. We'll see you next time for episode 110 of Play Tessie. So long.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.